This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
It's called Regeneron Plus. Also, it's incredible. And, you know, what they can do today is incredible. And they felt very confident even 6 months ago when they started. Think of it. We got this all done in a very short period of time, and now we're going for emergency use because we're going to make it available to everyone who needs it for free. Anybody in the country.
The president's speaking right now with the Protecting America Seniors event at Fort Myers, Florida, talking about Regeneron, talking about the vaccine. And you got to know that that Regeneron therapeutic, but the vaccine that seems to be rapidly working in place, that we could potentially have it by the end of the year if you listen to what the president says, but soon enough will be a huge game changer as to how our country can move forward. It's a really, really big point. While COVID is one of the main concerns that people have right now in the country, it's a huge determination of how people are going to feel about voting in November, on November 3rd, if they're not voting already. Who do you feel can handle a pandemic and the rebuilding of an economy at the same time? To me, that's an easy choice. I'm curious what Droy Murdoch thinks. Fox News contributor on with us right now. Droy, always great to have you back on a Friday instead of a Wednesday. You know, your thoughts last night on the comparison between these two town halls and the case that they continually try to make, Joe Biden and Donald Trump, as to why they should be handed the keys to this country moving forward in this crazy time we're living in.
Well, Annie, great to speak with you now on the cusp of the weekend, so that's a good thing.
Yes.
All can be thankful for that. the dueling town halls last night, I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I guess disappointed, again, to see the situation where the same media that complained about President Trump interrupting Joe Biden at the debate a couple of weeks ago, and I think the president was more interrupted than he should have been. Boy, it was nothing but interruptions by Savannah Guthrie. I mean, the guy could not finish a sentence. And really what we need now is for voters to get as much solid information as they can so they can decide who ought to be the next president of the United States. And instead, every third word he tried to utter, she would jump in and bust in with something else as if she were on the ballot against him. So I thought that was rude, disrespectful, and ultimately foiled the effort, which is to get the President of the United States to tell us why he ought to be reelected. Conversely, with on ABC, you had George Stephanopoulos, former Clinton White House official, sitting down with Joe Biden and, of course, letting him talk as much as he wants and give long answers, and which is fine. There's no objection there. But the contrast between the two will show you very clearly if anybody needed any further proof of the tremendous bias and anti-Trump animus on the part of the media in this country.
Droy, in a second potential Trump term, do you think the media will change at all? Do you think that they're sort of playing every ace they have right now in the attempt to make sure that he's not reelected, and then they'll have to go away, lick their wounds, and maybe change courses in a second term?
That's a good question. I suspect that if it's very close and he barely squeaks through, they will continue the drumbeat that this was Russia or China or the Freemasons or somebody. They'll pick somebody as the excuse for why Biden lost and Trump won. If he happens to win a landslide and it's convincing and he runs away with this thing, which could happen, maybe at that point they'll be chased and they'll put their tails between their legs and just be quiet and stop the rancor. I mean, I don't think they're going to jump on the Trump train and be supportive, but some of the chaos and craziness and nonsense we've seen might abate a bit, and they might actually try doing something called reporting and objective journalism.
Yeah, that would be nice.
Imagine that. What a concept, right?
You know, I wanted to ask you about this Joe Biden. Joe Biden got a question last night about how, you know, people of color in this country can feel going forward, you know, feeling safer, more secure, like they have the same kind of opportunities as people, as white people do in this country. And Joe Biden's response, it jarred me. He goes, he answered it. And the first thing he said is, you know, that's why I got into public service, is to fix these things. But if you got into public service 47 years ago, you're running for president 47 years later, and someone's saying, how are we going to fix this problem? And you tell me that 47 years ago, you got into government to fix this problem. I'm thinking, that's about all I need to know right now. I mean, the stark contrast between these two candidates on what they're willing to do to sit and listen to the plight of people who feel as though there is an opportunity gap between white people and people of color right now. The Trump administration has shown that they're willing to listen and make modifications. And Joe Biden says, 47 years ago, I got in to make a difference, and you should vote for me now for president. It's pretty amazing.
No, it is amazing when you look at it that way. I mean, the man has been in public life for almost half a century. And my question is, okay, then why don't you fix this? I mean, he was a senior senator for years. You know, he could have a whole stream of pieces of legislation behind him, you know, like the way that Fulbright did the Fulbright scholarship, or various people did various civil rights bills or whatever. I can't think of the Joe Biden Act for anything. I literally can't. And I'm not being unfair to him. I just can't think of anything that we know as the Biden Act. I mean, you know, you've got McCain-Feingold, for example, or you've got Pell Grants, which is the college scholarship money named after Senator Claiborne Pell. Things like this. I can't think of anything that's got Biden's name on it. So he said 47 years to do something hasn't done much. You'd think he'd have some better answer than that. And you compare that lack of activity, lack of answers from Biden after all these years versus Donald J. Trump, who after 4 years has given us the Opportunity Zone measure, 8,700 Opportunity Zones, which brought in something like $75 billion in private capital to improve and create jobs and hope in primarily minority low-income neighborhoods across the country. He's provided a steady stream of revenue for historically black colleges and universities, and worked with them to set up corporate scholarship, or I should say corporate apprenticeship programs, that sort of thing. The First Step Act, which is criminal justice reform, that's very positive. That's brought something like about 3,100 people who were predominantly minority, many black folks who were locked up for nonviolent drug offenses. They've been allowed to leave prison and mass incarceration and go back to their communities and make something of themselves. A lot of them apparently are getting back to work and you know, rejoining normal life, which is wonderful. These are concrete things the president has done. He's talked about something called the Platinum Plan, which is a very detailed proposal for increasing empowerment and opportunity in minority areas, particularly black areas. A commitment of something like $500 billion, which would happen in the second term. You know, you can debate the pros or cons, but there's a real plan there. And also it includes, one of the measures is to declare the KKK and Antifa as domestic terrorist organizations. Obama and Biden had 8 years to declare the KKK a domestic terrorist organization. And guess what? They didn't do it. So there are many instances where Senator Biden had an opportunity to do something about these issues you raise. Didn't do it in the Senate. He had 8 years in the White House to do something about these things and didn't do it. So why should we think he ought to be rewarded for his inactivity by giving him 4 years to do much of what he's done all along, which has been not very much of anything?
DeRoy Murdoch is on the phone with his Fox News contributor. DeRoy, you just listed some of the reasons and actual decisions that President Trump has made regarding racial issues. I think he touts, of course, the economic side of what he has done and what he will do going forward for people of color. What exactly is Joe Biden's platform for helping people of color? We know that he talks about the issue a lot, but I can't pin down what exactly he's saying he's going to do.
That's a good point. He mentioned last night something about redlining. He said he got into politics because of redlining, so maybe there'll be some activity on that if he happens to get elected. I know one area where I wish he would have something positive to say, and he has actually terribly negative things to say, which is in the area of school choice. Joe Biden is hostile to school choice. He has said, I'm not a charter fan. He also said, if I'm president, charter schools are gone. He said that essentially at a meeting with some teachers unions, I believe. He's promised to shut down the D.C. voucher program, which provides private vouchers to, I think it's about 7,000 or 8,000 kids in Washington, D.C. 70% of them are black, about 25% of them are Hispanic. I think the rest are Asian background, handful of white kids. And they're able to get out of some of the most disastrous government schools in the country and actually go somewhere where they can get educated. Rather than applaud this and think this is great, let's keep this going, Biden said full out, if he gets elected, he's going to shut the program down. And those poor black and Hispanic kids of color will be booted from these schools and will have to largely go back to the terrible schools in the neighborhoods from whence they came. And that's not good for blacks. That's not good for Hispanics. That's not good for America. And this is part of Joe Biden's agenda if he happens to get elected. I find that just appalling and disgusting. He should apologize for it and reverse course. Mm-hmm. But I doubt he'll do that.
We're speaking with Fox News contributor Joy Murdoch. There's news out now that Diddy has launched his own political party. It's called the Our Black Party. It promises to be inclusive to both sides of the political aisle. Diddy tweeted here. He said, we need to get Biden in and hold him accountable. Trump has taken things too far. But he also said, so I'm launching one of the boldest things I've ever launched. I'm launching a black political party with some young black elected officials and activists. It's called Our Black Party. It doesn't matter if you're Republican or Democrat. He has no love at all for Donald Trump. But the idea that I see Diddy doing this, I don't know if you're familiar with Ice Cube and his contract with Black America. We were talking about that in the first hour of the show here quite a bit. Apparently Ice Cube sat down with the Trump administration and the Trump administration listened to him and put some of his thoughts and plans into the Platinum Plan, which is the Trump administration's effort to try to invest in Black America and help close that opportunity gap. And the Democrats said, you can come back and talk to us after the election is over.
Unbelievable.
It is unbelievable. I mean, like, that's all you really need to know.
That's all you need to know right there. Yeah, this is just another example of the Democrats taking blacks for granted. Every 4 years, they say, oh, my God, the Klan's coming. It's the racist. Oh, you got to vote Democrat. And, you know, 90% of blacks usually do. And as soon as the balloons have hit the ground and the confetti's on the floor, they go, all right, see ya. And they turn their backs and they're gone and they don't do a damn thing. And we've seen this over and over and over. And unfortunately, too many blacks fall for this routine. I think the numbers will be lower. I think fewer and fewer black voters are fooled by this abuse that we've gotten from the Democrats really since 1824 when the party was started. And it was the party of slavery, the party of Jim Crow, the party of segregation and all that. And then now it's the party that fights school choice and all this sort of thing. And I think people are increasingly cynical about this, and I think you'll see more people abandoning the Democrat Party. Some of them will just walk away, some of them will start other parties, and some of them I think will support President Trump on November 3rd. But this is, again, typical. You'd think the Democrats would be smart enough to bring Ice Cube in and say, great, what are your ideas? Please go out and spread the gospel between now and November 3rd. They don't even have the brains to do that. Come back and talk to us after the election. I mean, that's just really, really, really poor electoral politics, in addition to being rather immoral and disgusting on top of that.
One last question before we let you go, and this is less about Trump and more about conservatism. The idea that the people are the focus of the conservative fiscal platform, that the people have control over the direction of this economy, the ability to try to succeed, and if they fail, to try again. And then the progressive way is to put all of your hope, trust, and freedom in the hands of the United States government so that they can just make sure that everything is equitable. Equitable does not mean good by any stretch of the imagination. Regardless of what color you are and regardless of what party you're for or candidate you're for, just the general platforms, cover up the names at the top of the ticket, cover up the parties at the top of the ticket. What does conservatism offer all people when it comes to opportunity?
I think broadly speaking, what conservatism offers people is the opportunity to live up to their dreams and aspirations and have the freedom to do so. Some people need some help, some people don't, but generally letting people live their lives the way they want as long as they don't harm or injure or threaten other people. The other side, the left, is much more the opposite than ever before, which is people say they want power. They don't want power. What they want is control. They want to tell us what to do all day long, 24/7, 365. So under Obama, you had Obamacare, where you couldn't just get a plan you wanted that you think would fit the needs of you and your loved ones. You had to get their plan, which, for example, every Obamacare plan has to have pediatric vision and pediatric dental, whether or not you have children. You could be totally childless. Maybe you don't even like kids, but your plan has to have pediatric dental and pediatric vision. I just found this sort of thing insane and crazy. You had under Obama, we had the federal government controlling dishwashers, controlling ceiling fans. There actually, I've written about this. There actually were regulations on the creation of ice out of commercial ice making machines, and you actually had to produce ice if you ran a company, test the ice for hardness and compare the hardness of the ice against the what was known as the federal, what's still known, I guess, as the federal ice hardness factor, and then report to the Department of Energy whether the ice coming out of your commercial ice making machine was equal to, harder than, or softer than the federal ice hardness factor. I'm not making up any of this. I've written about it, and you can look it up. There's an actual formula for this that looks something like something out of a college physics textbook. And this is the kind of control the left has. They want to control every single solitary aspect of our lives. What they basically are totalitarians without the guard dogs and the barbed wire. That's the only thing missing. And other than that, the left wants to bark orders at you 24/7, 365. That's what's on the ballot in November. And if you don't like big government being bossed around by politicians, don't vote Democrat, because if you do, that's what you're going to get for at least the next 4 years and probably many more years thereafter.
Roy Murdoch, it's always a pleasure to have you on here. Please enjoy your weekend. If you are taking in as much information this week as I have been, you're going to need 2 weekends back to back here to just exhale for a little bit.
No doubt about that. Oh. That's absolutely right. Well, great to talk to you. Have a great weekend.
Yes, you as well, Roy. Thank you
so much.
Okay,
take care. Bye-bye.
Pleasure to speak.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.